following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News and is brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. And now, here are your hosts, Jim Ozarski and Tom Silverstein.
Welcome in, everyone, for Bears Packers Week, the 200th version of this long-standing NFL rivalry, Sunday at Lambeau Field. I'm Jim Ozarski. Tom Silverstein is next to me. Thanks for joining us this week. And Tom, you know, there are some playoff implications on the line for both teams. No one can clinch. Packers can't clinch with just a victory. They would need some help. The Bears need to win to stay alive. So there is a little bit on the line, but it always seems there is at some point. I think a year ago, you know, the Bears truly ended any Packers hopes week 15 at Soldier Field. So we'll briefly start there. Do you think we'll see a the Packers of late just haven't looked juiced, energized. I mean, they're kind of sleepy. Obviously, we know what happened in San Francisco. The Washington game was kind of, you know, what do you think? It's a noon game, but, you know, it is the Bears, and they've got something to play for.
Well, as someone who has seen all 200 games, I think anytime these two teams get together, it's there's emotion and there's reason to play and there's a little bit of energy that's added in some games that you won't necessarily see. I think there's more energy in Bears and Vikings games. They know each other so well, and I think if the Packers aren't energized or aren't playing at a fairly high level in this game, then we kind of know who they are. I would be real surprised if they didn't play a better game this week than they have against Washington and New York. But that won't necessarily be measured in yards.
Right.
It has to be measured in execution, in strategy, in how they use their assets to win the game. And that's what I really want to see from Matt LaFleur. The first time these two teams met, the Packers won because they got after Mitch Trubisky. They made just enough big plays, and their special teams was outstanding. So I think that's probably all those things will play, will be the difference. Who makes the big play, who has better special teams, and who can get after the quarterback.
Yeah, and along those lines, Tom, I mean, a little bit of a talking point, you know, was the whole Tremont Williams post game in Chicago in September, the line. We wanted Mitch to play quarterback, which is, it was part of a broader explanation of their of what they wanted to do, and it was the exact same game plan Mike Pettine brought to Chicago in December of last year. The only difference was Mitch Trubisky did play quarterback in that game. It was arguably his best of the year in 2018, averaged 8.4 yards per attempt with a lot of catch and run. He only ran it three times.
Yeah.
You know, and this Packers secondary widely credited him with making reads and progressions and great throws that didn't happen in September. So of course, Chicago media asked Mitch about it this week, and he got, you know, dander up a little bit, you know, and that makes sense. But, you know, I talked to the Packers players, and that's going to kind of be the game plan this week, too. The idea being get him into third and seven and make a throw.
Yeah. I mean, did it make a difference that John Bostic said that the Washington was going to try to stop Aaron Jones and they didn't care about Aaron Rodgers? I don't think that really was a factor in the game. It didn't make Rodgers play any better. So that's just to address the talk aspect of it, as to what Tremont Williams said. You know, I don't think in the end that really makes a difference. Now, I think what Tremont Williams said makes total sense, because really, if you look at it, Mitch Trubisky has not run the ball much this year. He's not used his legs a lot. But the last couple games he has, and they really used it last week against, I guess it was a week ago Thursday, against Dallas. And they had designed runs for him. Yeah. He scrambled some. All of a sudden, he was a much better I would just say he had more control of the game, it seemed like. And so I expect that to happen again. And the thing that the Packers have to do is get pressure on him and not get him out of the pocket, not let him get out of the pocket, make him stand in the pocket and throw. And that's what you want to do with Aaron Rodgers, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want him getting out of the pocket. You prefer that if he's going to beat you, he beats you standing there in the pocket. Because you kind of feel like your guys are going to get there and get after him, and that his wide receivers aren't good enough to beat your guys. So it is a little bit funny that we're talking about two teams with the same goal,
right,
which is, you know, we're going to stop, we're going to let, you know, your quarterback is going to have to beat us. You know, we're stopping everything else, but go ahead, quarterback.
Yeah, what are the odds, especially if in Chicago, the idea of, what do you mean you want Aaron Rodgers to try to beat you? You know, the guy with the 18. But there, everything
and let's say this, they haven't said that, but
right,
you know, everybody who comes, who's playing the Packers now, their number one goal is to stop Aaron Jones. That's just been the case.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I guess where we're going with that, too, is, you know, Rodgers mentioned this himself on Wednesday, saying that it's too late in the year to really establish any kind of identity. You're not going to do that after 3 weeks. He noted how inconsistent they've been throwing the ball, running the ball.
Yeah.
But that's what it is. So when San Francisco and New York and Washington do put an emphasis on Aaron Jones, I mean, I've been saying it all year, that Aaron Jones is the engine of the offense.
Yeah.
And when he plays well and is involved and has numbers, the Packers win.
I think, yes, that's absolutely true. You know, that's we've been saying that all year long. I think what is critical, you know, is that what they do starts with Aaron Jones. Now, it might end with Aaron Rodgers, but it's got to start with Aaron Jones, because all that play action, all the movement, the bootlegs, things like that don't happen unless Aaron Jones is having some success. And I'd like to go back to what I said after the Washington game, which people were really down on the offense, and I had my criticisms, but I also thought they finally just lined up and said, you know, Washington, you want to stop our run, we're going to run it anyways. And they lined up with three tight ends, and they had a successful day running it. I really don't want to minimize the fact that they ran it on a day when Washington didn't want them to run it. And I wonder if that's going to have some success moving forward.
You know, a thing to remember, too, with this particular game is, you know, in week one, the Packers really tried to establish that outside zone scheme.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they don't really do that much anymore.
No.
So there's that. The Bears, while they are a top 10 defense, they don't know how, I think they allow less than 18 points per game. However, pretty much since New Orleans, since Oakland ran 169 yards on them in London.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've been gashed. They've, you know, the Chargers are the only team against them that hasn't run it well. I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 opponents, topped over 100 yards rushing against the Bears. The Lions got to 98. Dallas got to 82, and that was even when they're playing catch-up. So,
yeah. What is the yards per carry? That's more important to me than the actual yards.
They are giving up only 3.7 yards per carry, which is
pretty good. I think that's got to be third in the league.
So okay. I guess to me, though, Tom, what that means is teams, at least of late, have remained committed to it.
Yeah.
And also this game, Danny Trevathan, arguably a Pro Bowl level middle linebacker. He's out. Roquan Smith, their sideline to sideline, weak side linebacker, is out.
Yeah.
And look, Nick Gutkowski and their backups have played okay, but they're not starters.
Yeah, no, they're not starters, but I think they've been pretty good, particularly the kid who's gotten some. I mean,
Kwiatkowski has
been pretty
up,
good. Yeah, he's been pretty solid. I am just interested to see whether they can exploit that. I don't know if they can. Big question mark is Akeem Smith. Akeem Hicks.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said Smith. Akeem Hicks, you know, if he's going to play.
On the side of the ball.
Yeah. If he's going to play the ball, or if he's going to play this weekend. So I'm assuming he is. And that changes a lot for their run defense, too. And that'll be a big deal. The one thing that I'm having a hard time with in this game is whether either of these teams, if we're making too much out of who they are based on who they've beaten, you know, Chicago's little run has come against some pretty bad teams. And, yeah, it's exciting that they've gotten it together, but it's not like they've destroyed some great teams. The Packers, in the same vein, haven't really beaten anybody of significance in a while. Kansas City, maybe the last time, and that was without Patrick Mahomes. So, you know, it's sort of like I still don't think we're going to know anything about the Packers until they play Minnesota. But this is going to be – I think this is going to be a really tight game. I really do.
Yeah, I think so too. And I don't know if it's going to be – I think we'll see more points than 13.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to be a barn burner by any means. And I think part of that, Tom, is how inconsistent – the Packers' pass game has been, I think it's middle of the pack,
mm-hmm.
you know, in terms of just its overall production. The numbers, if you were to line them up, put them on paper with last year, when everyone was up in arms, are fairly similar.
Yeah.
And Aaron Rodgers said this week, when asked about the lack of a number two, and he said, well, in those games we were really slinging it around, did we have a number two? And he said no.
Mm-hmm.
It was just guys had stepped up, and they've lost that. And I don't know if this is the week with an All-Pro in Kyle Fuller, you know, an All-Pro in Eddie Jackson. Prince Amukamara returned to practice mm-hmm. after missing last week. We know HaHa Clinton Dix and some of the issues he's had, but he's still around the ball. I don't know if this is the
Matt
week.
Nagy was raving about Clinton Dix
on
the conference call here, and he sounded sincere about it too. It didn't sound like he was just pumping him up.
So I don't know if this is the week that if they corral Aaron Jones, Aaron Rodgers throws for 320 yards.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about that. I am interested to see. LaFleur tried to make it seem like it was schematic as to why they used three tight ends against Washington. I would really like to see whether they do that more against Chicago and whether it's viable. I really think the advantage of that is you get a team into its base defense, and then you've got these two young tight ends that you know, they don't know if you're coming out in a run formation or if you're going to split those guys out and use them as receivers and try to get good matchups. That's right now you got to go with what works. And that three tight end set was pretty successful against Washington. And I just wonder if LaFleur has the, I was going to say guts, fortitude, whatever it is, to stick with it, because it limits a little bit of how much Davante Adams gets used. It limits a little bit of what Rodgers does down the field, but it sure looked good in terms of giving Aaron Jones lots of options of, you know, cutbacks and things like that.
And that could, you know, we mentioned the backup inside linebackers for the Bears. Again, you're asking those guys to play coverage or make quick decisions on run pass options. I mean, look, even if it's Jimmy Graham, you know, on a jump ball, an official knows who 80 is as opposed to those other guys, which matters. And look, Leonard Floyd only ever seems to sack Aaron Rodgers. It's the only time that guy plays like a first round pick is against Green Bay. And Khalil Mack, like, you know, if you're going to slow them down, you know, having some bigger bodies to either do a chip or at least force them into making a decision a half second either way.
I would rather have Leonard Floyd having to play the run than I would having him line up on third and nine and come at you. You know, so try to see if you can get something going running against them. I know it's not going to be easy, but there's, you know, Matt LaFleur, you always stress too, is that one play leads to another. And if they can just get a little bit going on the running game, then all of a sudden that play action comes in and you got someone on their heels.
Yeah, I think, too, at the end of the day, it's there's an intangible factor, at least for me, Tom. I know you've seen all 200 of these games. Rodgers, for whatever reason, even when
that Bronco-Nagurski game was the best.
Even when the Bears have been better than the Packers, 12 seems to find a way to just dig the knife in the kidneys on that team.
Yeah, they
do.
So,
and he did it in week one, too, when it didn't look that great.
I think a huge part of this game is going to be, really, I think it's going to be the Packers' pass rush. I think they've got to take advantage of some of the guys out on Chicago's offensive line, some of the changes that they've had, rotations they've had, and really put pressure. I mean, Za'Darius Smith, they should line him up everywhere and make Chicago try to figure out how to double team him, because he and Preston Smith had a great game the first time.
Yeah.
But, you know, now teams know a lot more about them. And I thought last week Patton used them coming up the middle a little bit, sort of as a inside linebacker, and they need to keep expanding that and really put pressure on Trubisky.
Yeah, it'll be interesting in turnovers. You know, Mitch Trubisky is that's a thing that he does. But you know, Tom, you don't want to drop the ball on New Year's Eve.
Oh, my God.
Because
Wait, the ball drops on New Year's Eve,
I
thought.
No, but you don't want to, because on New Year's Eve, don't drop the ball. Ring in 2020 at Pottawatomie. It's Milwaukee's biggest New Year's Eve party. Oh. Tickets start at just $49. Get yours at mkenyeve.com. And to your point about, you know, getting after Trubisky, and that's that whole idea of making him throw and react to that pass rush. You know, as you mentioned, of late he's using his legs more. What's funny about that, though, Tom, is I don't think that's going to – I mean, the Packers are going to game plan for it, and they have to make the play. But unlike Dallas, which I think was totally unaware or caught unawares that he could do that, that's not a surprise – to this Packers team. I mean, that's they know he can keep it on the read option. They know he can make a linebacker miss in the open field. So, to your point, yeah, I think the Smiths, I think Kenny Clark, you know, getting a sack and a half and sort of feeling good is a big deal. If they can rush four and kind of keep that, you know, do what they've been doing there and having seven in coverage, it kind of protects the middle of the field a little bit. And, you know, they limited the explosives against Washington. Because, mm-hmm. Look, this Bears offense, it's not great. Let's call it what it is. It's not. But Allen Robinson's still a real guy.
Yes, he is.
Tariq Cohen can still make you miss. And they found a couple undrafted tight ends. And normally I wouldn't bring it up, Tom, but we know the Packers' history this year with these tight ends. And, you know, they got some guy named J.P. Holtz and some other guy named Jesper Horsted. But say what you want about them. They made a couple big catches against Dallas. Mm-hmm. And the Packers have kind of, you know, let that space be open. So,
And Anthony Miller's finally come along, you know, second round pick, and they've had to put up with mistakes and things, but I think he's starting to come along too.
Yeah.
He's a big, you know, play hard guy that they're going to have to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I think he's, since Matt Nagy, it's like the San Diego Chargers. I got my Mets.
Yeah.
Confused here. Packers fans might remember Mitch Trubisky either getting pulled out of the game or benched or whatever, how you want to view it, against Los Angeles in primetime a few weeks ago. Well, in that post game, Tom, Nagy called out Anthony Miller,
mm-hmm.
and said he ran the wrong route or, broke off the depth, and that led to an interception.
Mm-hmm.
Well, since then, Anthony Miller has been targeted nearly 10 times a game and has produced like a second-round pick would. So that's an added element that wasn't quite there week one, wasn't quite there last year, that we'll see if Kevin King is back and healthy, and that could change things too.
Yeah, and I do wonder, you know, this is another issue that we should talk about a little bit, which is, so they sat Kevin King because of the shoulder injury, and I thought Tremont Williams played pretty well. And then I thought Chandon Sullivan played pretty well. Oh, granted, they're playing Dwayne Haskins, and he's a work in progress. But I do wonder whether it's, at this point in the season, it's better for them to start Tremont Williams and then use King as a nickelback. Move him outside. Tremont moves inside. And go with some experience there and health. And let King play himself into health, you know, and get some more confidence. I against a young receiver, I would assume they'd like King to match up with Allen Robinson, I'm sure, because of the height factor. But let's say that they feel okay with Jair Alexander there, you know, you'd love to have Tremont Williams on Anthony Miller, you know, a young guy against a veteran. Yeah. And I'm wondering what they do with Kevin King, if they just go right back to what they were doing, or they say, let's kind of be easy on him until the playoffs, because they need a healthy Kevin King.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Chandon Sullivan, who played a bunch of snaps against Washington, basically let the cat out of the bag a little bit on Monday when he said, well, you know, it was game time, but, you know, it's also not just this game, but it's about all the games going forward with Kevin King, you know, because he did practice for the most part last week.
It is, and I just think, and that's smart. I think Kevin King is a good player. I think he's a good player when he's healthy.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that he's all that great when he's not. And some guys play through injuries, but he's got the kind of injuries that hurt a corner. You know, that groin injury is devastating to a cornerback. You know, Jair Alexander has fought it. Before that, Demaryius Randall was dealing with that, and these guys are not the same with that injury. And now the shoulder injury, it's hard to be physical when you can't jam a guy because your shoulder is throbbing, you know?
Yeah, so it'll be, you know, the Bears, it's interesting in that way. You know, you come in, other than the Bears' defense, which is a statistically still very good, and have Khalil Mack, and obviously the Packers have a couple Pro Bowlers this year in the Smiths. You know, both teams are kind of like average.
Yeah.
They don't do anything really great, you know, which maybe sets up for a really good game.
Maybe,
potentially.
It could. And I like the fact that it's kind of a winter game. It's probably going to be one in the trenches, who can protect the best, who can get something moving in the run game, and then special teams. I think special teams will be a big factor. I think special teams was probably the reason the Packers won that first meeting, because J.K. Scott just kept putting the Bears deep in their own territory, and they kept having to start inside their own 20, or, you know, he was just, he was a weapon in that game.
It was the start of a run for J.K. Scott that was very impressive, and I'm glad you brought that up, because it's still Cohen on punts and Cordero Patterson on kicks. Those guys haven't changed. And that return game is still an issue. Now the Packers at least can say they have a punt returner who can move forward.
Yeah.
You know, and Tyler Ervin. So we'll see if he can still, you know, do that and give something to this offense. The one part I do want to bring up, though, to me, Tom, I think Mason Crosby is going to make the Pro Bowl in the NFC off this game. I just see, you know, Matt LaFleur of late has been going for fourth downs right around the 30, 35.
Yeah.
I think against this Bears defense, if they stall out there, I think he's going to be more willing to take the points.
I think you should.
And
with their record on fourth down.
Yeah.
You know, and they finally got one against Washington.
And so I think this is a – Mason Crosby's having a career year.
And in light of every other kicker other than Justin Tucker, whose name isn't Justin Tucker, having terrible years. I mean, really, throughout the league, kickers are struggling.
Yeah, and the Bears probably are the most famous, beginning with the double doink in last year's playoff, the circus they held to find a kicker in the offseason, and Eddie Pinheiro.
The Chargers game, and they lost.
Matt Nagy doesn't trust him. I mean, you're talking about going for it on fourth downs. Matt Nagy's been pushing that envelope of late to eschew field goals, and I kicking at Lambeau Field, that kid's never done it. It's going to be cold and windy, and that's just an element that I think will play a factor.
Yeah.
Where Mason Crosby will make, to me, Tom, he's going to make a handful of kicks. I don't see the Packers scoring a whole bunch of touchdowns.
I don't think so either. I don't see that either.
Whereas Eddie Pinheiro, I could see him missing an extra point, and then Matt Nagy never goes to him again. You know, and that, you know, when you're talking about close games, that's the stuff that matters.
Yeah.
And I think the Packers, at least this weekend, have a decided advantage in that way.
Yeah, I do think that is a big advantage, because this game couldn't come down to a field goal, and they honestly probably feel pretty good about if they get inside Chicago territory and they get inside the 40, that they feel like they can get a field goal out of Mason Crosby. And that's big, because if you can just get into Chicago territory, you know, I mean, you got to get past the 40, but still, that's not that far to go to get points. And points, you know, in this game, I think it's going to be really tight. And so 3 points are going to make a difference.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, well, before we wrap up here, Tom, we are looking ahead to the new year. Are you going to ring in 2020 at Pottawatomie? You should.
I would like to. We're going to be in Detroit on the 30th.
Yeah.
Is that right?
So fly right in.
Fly right into Pottawatomie? Right,
yeah,
right.
Ring in 2020 at Pottawatomie. It's Milwaukee's biggest New Year's Eve party. Tom Silverstein will be there. And you get tickets start at just $49. Get yours at nkenyeve.com. So as we kind of wrap up a look at this, Tom, you know, we focus on the quarterbacks, I think rightfully so, because that's just where these kind of teams are. I'm going to ask you something about Aaron Rodgers said, and we've touched on it here, is the, if you want to play the next 7 to 8 weeks, they need to find some form of consistency. If not an identity, a consistency. And I guess I'm curious for you, what do you think he means? Is that being able to truly marry giving Aaron Jones 22 catches and he can throw for 275? is it you know, Davante Adams is catching 10 balls? Like, what do you think the quarterback kind of means when he says we need to find some offensive consistency for them to go to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question, because the goal around here for many years was to score 40 points. You know, it was always thought that the potential was there to score 40 points every game. When you had the Jordy Nelson and Cobb and Davante Adams and James Jones and, you know, go on, they were high-powered offense. Now consistency, I think, means put some drives together, you know, avoid these three and outs, at least, you know, get the ball to midfield, and then if you can't score, you know, pin the opponent down on the other end and try to get some good field position and get on the board. I think it means something different than what it used to mean. I think consistency meant scoring at least 30. And now consistency means getting Aaron Jones, you know, 15 to 20 touches, or Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, 25 combined carries, and Rodgers throwing 25 times. And, you know, that's their consistency now.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's a different kind of consistency.
And we will find out. To me, Tom, I think Sunday against this very good Bears defense, and then a little over a week on Monday night against a quality Minnesota team, if they can find that. And if they can, maybe that bodes well for a playoff run.
Yeah.
You know, so we will see on that. I don't know. Is there anything else that has popped up to you about this game that you're curious about or want to see? I think for me, Tom, I'm you mentioned Allen Robinson and Jaire Alexander. Mike Pettine let the game plan was for Alexander to travel with McLaren last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he did a really good job. I'm wondering if, to me, I'm looking forward. If they see Michael Thomas, Jaire Alexander's running around with him all day.
Yeah.
You know, same with, you know, maybe a Tyler Lockett in Seattle,
mm-hmm.
right? Or maybe in a minute. Like, so I'm kind of looking forward. I'm curious to see if Mike Pettine is in that mode. You know, maybe
best on best.
Yeah. So I'm going to be curious to see if he does that. Is there anything maybe a matchup wise you're curious to see?
I sort of want to see how they used Khalil Mack. So at times they felt good about the matchup against Bulaga. You know, I think they felt like he can get some stuff done against Bulaga. On the other hand, you know, they just destroyed him inside last year or in the week one. I mean, they were just blowing him away inside, and Mack was doing it.
The Roy Robertson
Hicks was, Robertson Harris was. That was really eye-opening how bad they hurt him inside. And so I want to see whether they're going to move Mack inside and try to get him some one-on-ones there or what. That's kind of what I'll be looking at.
Yeah. Interesting note there. Elton Jenkins is at guard for this game and not the veteran Lane Taylor.
Yes.
So that was I remember, it seems so long ago.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a big change there. So, yeah, it'll be – look, Sunday should be fun. It'll be cold. Bring your ear warmers and your hand warmers and all that good stuff. And be sure to find us post-game early morning on Monday. Tom and I will be here breaking it down, whatever happens. So be sure to subscribe at jsonline.com, packersnews.com. Download the apps. Turn on notifications so you can get all of the latest on the Packers as they try to – return to the postseason for the first time in 3 years, and maybe make a Super Bowl run. So for Tom, I am
Jim. Those are your words, not mine.
So for Tom, I am Jim. We will talk to you after the game.